Welcome to Get Right for Sunday, a podcast designed to help you prepare for Sunday and beyond. I am Pastor Wright, and each week I have a conversation exploring the Bible readings for this upcoming Sunday. Join us as we discuss how the lessons are applied to our daily life in Christ. Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today we're going to look at the readings for the celebration of All Saints Day. And All Saints Day is a beautiful day because on this day, we remember those of blessed repose, which simply means those who have gone before us, those who have fallen asleep in the faith or have died in the faith, and they rest with Christ, and they too wait for the resurrection. They too wait for the coming of the Lord, where they will be once again reunited with their bodies, resurrected to perfection and life everlasting. It is the very thing we do in the church militant, that means the church on earth, waiting for Christ to return and usher in his kingdom in its fullness. And it is in that line that we look at the gospel lesson for All Saints Day, which is St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. But before that, I wanted to start that off with understanding this is the Beatitudes and the blessings, which is a statement of judgment. God is actually making a judgment statement. Blessed are those. And then he fills in what that blessedness is, what that blessed person is doing. So there are characteristic traits. These aren't things that you have to fulfill and do. You are blessed. And hence, because of your blessedness, you do this, that you are poor in spirit, meek, peacemaker, so on and so forth. Thirst for righteousness. These now become the characteristics of our blessedness in Christ. And so that's important, and we'll discuss this further throughout the podcast. But the epistle lesson comes to us from 1 John chapter 3, and I'll just read it. It's short. It's only three verses. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. It did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And this is just beautiful, amazing, and truly exciting. I'm recording this video, and you can see me on the Get Right for Sunday YouTube channel, and you can see my hands. This is very exciting because we're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about what we have already here and now, the promise of all of Christ's righteousness, holiness, pureness, blessedness. And this is the love of God our Father, that we should be united with him, with his Son, in his Son, through the Holy Spirit, who creates faith, saving faith, and brings us into this relationship, brings us into this connected place where Christ dwells in us, that his righteousness is put on us. And this is the love that we get to hold on to. This is the love that we get to experience. And it is beyond comprehension and understanding, which is just amazing because it shows once again the bigness of all that Christ promises to give and deliver for us, to us. And again, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we shall be called children of God, and we are, because God said so. And I love this statement. And there is so much comfort, so much peace in this. Because again, you've heard me say, I know my heart. Jesus has told me what my heart is. It is full of evil. The inclinations of man are full of evil as they flow from his heart. That is me. And yet God promises to speak his righteousness, to speak his forgiveness, to speak his holiness upon me. And if God calls me forgiven, if God calls you forgiven, you are. And I got proof of this, because there's times where I'll go to my father confessor and I will hear my sins are forgiven, but I still feel like a dirty, damnable sinner. But God said, your sins are forgiven. They are removed as far as the east is from the west. And those are great. Those are wonderful. But that doesn't just zap us out of the funk or the mourning of our sin or the consequences of our sin. We're still stuck in a corrupt, fallen world, but you're forgiven because he said so. And again, I have proof of this. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light, and there was. So what's interesting about that, and we've heard that before, but it's the fourth day of the creation account that the sun is made, that the moon is made, that the stars are made. For 3 days, there is evening and morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, with no sun, with no moon. God orders all of creation because he said so, because he said, let there be light, and there was. Out of nothing, ex nihilo. You can ask our catechumens what that means, out of nothing. Because God said so, it happened. This is the spoken gift of his promise, his work onto you. God doesn't do half-truths. He doesn't say nice things just to make you give you warm and fuzzy feelings. He means it. He wants you to have this. He wants you to know who and what you are. So once again, if you are called his children, it is because he said so. You are because he said so. And we get to live in this promise, in this reality, relationship, and we get to live that out, which flows right into the Beatitudes. And we have the beginning of it. We have Jesus and seeing the crowds. He went up on the mountain and sat down, and he opened his mouth and he said, blessed are you. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and revile against you and persecute you. And so we got all these statements. And again, at the beginning, I made a statement that these statements, the blessed, you are blessed, or blessed are. He's speaking of those who he has called to be his children, his dear saints, his people. You are blessed, period. End of statement, full, complete wholeness right there. This is a judgment statement. And if the opposite is true, woe to you. Again, judgment statement. This isn't a threat. This isn't a nice pat on the back. It is judgment. And we need to realize and remember that God is true to his promises. He promises to bless. He also promises to punish, to unleash his wrath. Those are real things. We have the promise of heaven in and through Christ. We have the promise of hell in and through our rebellious, evil unbelief. Those are real things. And those are the real issues we have to deal with. So when Jesus speaks, blessed are those, he is talking about what his people are, what his saints are, what you and I are to be in our baptismal life, in our life in Christ. And this is what just naturally flows because of who and what we have been made to be in Christ. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this poorness is very interesting because the Greek will actually say the beggars, the poor beggars. And this is so much more than not just having money or just not having a nice house or whatever. Being under the poverty level, however you want to look at it. This is the realization that you are poor and understand your poorness in the spiritual ways, in the spiritual realm. We look at ourselves and we realize that by our own power, strength, we cannot earn heaven. We cannot appease God. And we are spiritually weak. We're spiritually dead without God. And so we beg God. We throw ourselves to his mercy, knowing that we will be fulfilled in the resurrection, that we will be what he says we will be. We'll be pure like him. We'll see him like he is, the fullness and glorified God in Christ. This is what we get to see. And so to be beggars before God is not that we're these dirty homeless people who are just panhandling. It is the idea that we recognize the treasures of heaven that we don't have yet. They're ours. It's been promised and won for us in Christ, but we haven't seen the fulfillment and the fullness of it on this side of heaven. So with anticipation and with excitement, we live in this blessed state of knowing heaven forever, eternity, the new heaven, the new earth awaits us. And so this is why we beg. We beg for that continued strength, that continued work of God in Christ. Again, it's not just a state of not having material things or taking a vow of poverty. This is understanding that the spiritual state that is commanded for heaven is far from our grasp, and we are poor in that situation. And then I thought this one was interesting. Again, blessed, this is already a judgment statement of who and what you are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And studying this, I've always looked at the idea that we mourn our sin. We mourn others' sin. We mourn people who have died. And so on and so forth. And this mournful state is not that we're perpetually crying, that we're perpetually missing the saints who have gone before us. Yes, please do that. And do that in Christ. Because when we think of death, we think about the separation it causes, the hurt and the pain. And these are things that are results of sin. Now, we're not left there. We have the promise of the resurrection. We know those who have gone before us rest in Christ, and we shall be reunited with them, and they and us get to have the fullness of this blessed judgment placed upon us. So this mourning aspect, we now get to mourn sin. And this is huge, because yes, we mourn our own sin, but we also mourn others' sins. And this isn't a self-righteous, whoa, I see you, I'm going to mourn for that sin that you just did. It's not that. It's not false piety. It's not false righteousness. It's not holier-than-thou kind of mourning. This mourning is a realization that sin begets unbelief, separation from God, and the promise of his wrath. And we mourn these things because we have been rescued from them. And this is why we pray for others, that they repent, that they change and turn away from their evil deeds, evil thinking, evil words, evil whatever, and turn to Christ and to be reconciled with God, be reconciled with one another. So this mourning is a concern, a genuine concern for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, our fellow people, because Christ came for everyone to bring heaven, to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness for everyone. And Linsky makes an interesting statement. Linsky is the author of one of the commentaries I was reading for this. He made the simple statement that when we start mourning other people's sins, recognizing other people's sin. Again, not in a haughty, self-righteous or holier-than-thou way, but recognizing sin. We start recognizing our own, and we start repenting and changing our ways. We start seeing sin the way it is lived out in others within ourselves. And so it helps us to repent. It helps us to see our place before a righteous God. So mourning, again, is not a holier-than-thou statement, but it's recognizing sin for what it is. And we mourn our sin. We mourn our evil deeds so that we will not only repent, but we be reconciled and live this out in the blessedness of what God in Christ through the Holy Spirit has given to us. And then we have the blessed are the meek. And this is to put us in Christ. We have the meekness. And again, think of this. The all-powerful God of creation comes to dwell amongst us. And how does he do this? He doesn't come living in palace high on his mighty throne that he deserves. No. He comes and he's born in a barn, in a manger. He's born to a carpenter. He travels all around just to hide so that he will survive. We hear that when somebody asks him, "What can I do?" He says, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." The King of all creation had no home of his own to go to. And he went to those who would serve him, minister to him. That is meekness. He came to serve, not to be served. And this is what we get to do. We get to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. We get to serve the rest of humanity, showing them the love of God and what we have been given. And so we have this great model in Christ for meekness. And then the merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. These are the simple aspects of, again, who is the one who truly is the peacemaker, the merciful, the pure in heart. Well, again, that is Jesus Christ, the one who has come to dwell among us, the one who has come to bring full peace, full mercy, and he has reconciled. He has made right what we have broken. And he does this out of love so that we will have the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to life everlasting. And that is what we hold on to. And then we have the closing Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And again, this puts us all in perspective. And Jesus is very clear, for my name's sake, you shall suffer. He doesn't promise that everything will be easy because you're a Christian, that Christ is in you. He actually promises that the world will turn against you. So what does this have to do with All Saints Day? Remembering those who have gone before us. It is in this text that we get to remember and see that these are the ones who are receiving the fullness of the blessed acts of Christ himself, the resurrection, everlasting life, being in the presence and the glory of God forever and ever. It is the very thing that we get to we get to wait for and remember that we already have in Christ. So these Beatitudes, this Sermon on the Mount, puts us in this wonderful place to receive the judgment statement of God himself. You are blessed in Christ. Go forth and live in the poorness, the mourning, in the peacemaking, in the meekness, in the hunger and thirst for righteousness, and know that God of mercy, who is truly pure in heart and delivers that very pure heart to you and has made peace with the wrath that should come. All of this has already been taken care of, that you may be called the children of God and live in that promise as the very people of God. Thank you for listening to Get Right for Sunday. I know that your time is valuable, and of all the things that you could have watched or listened to, you have chosen to deepen your biblical understanding with Get Right for Sunday. Would you take a moment to give a 5-star rating of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform? This actually helps others to be able to find Get Right for Sunday. Again, thank you for your time, your prayers, and support.